Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Mondays, is my good friend, Michele Vera. Michele, what's up?
Well, after a couple of very weird days on my end, I'm finally okay.
Oh, he's back. Feels good that he's back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it feels very good to be able to talk basketball.
Yes. So if you are a listener of Thunder After Dark, you got to hear a new voice on that show. Shouts to Kyle Boone for joining and for talking Kai Jones and Moses Moody with me. But we will have Michele back today to record some more episodes of Thunder After Dark. That will be later on today. But I thought we just get today's episode of Down to Dunk out of the way. There's just so much going on. I think every NBA podcast really should start with Damian Lillard and what seems to be the beginning of the end for he and the Trailblazers. It feels like he's finally realized that, okay, perhaps this is not going to lead me where I want to go. And after kind of getting punked in the first round by a team that starred Austin Rivers, it might be time to move on elsewhere. Michele, do you have any favorite Dame destinations in mind?
Well, there are obvious ones where I would love to see him play. I think that East, there are a lot of Boston and Philadelphia are two that make a ton of sense. They have the asset to get him. They have the young players. Maybe not the best assets, but they can give them blue chip prospect. If you consider Simmons to be still a blue chip prospect, or if you want to go west, there are teams that can offer basically every pick. Teams like New Orleans that can mortgage their future, because pairing Dame and Zion would be insane. Would be just
so sick. Yeah.
Amazing. But also Denver. I think that Denver gives Dame the possibility to win tomorrow. And it's probably the only team where he can get traded that makes sense, where he could be perfect from day one.
Yeah.
Another destination, which we don't want to hear, but it's there as well. I mean, it's not that Golden State doesn't have a case at all. They can give Wiseman, they can give Wiggins, they can give this year pick. They can give as many picks as they want.
They can give 7, 14, Wiseman,
yes.
Wiggins.
And
at the draft and say, hey.
4 extra picks.
Yeah. And here's your reset.
And it's quite the reset, because, yeah. I mean, Wiggins is not the guy that will help you win. Right. It's not that if you have Wiggins, then you win like 50 games or 40, not even 30 are guaranteed. Then you probably move CJ. You decide what to do with Nurk, which I think is up for either this year or next year. So it's,
I think he can leave this year.
Yeah. And he probably will. Because if Dame goes, you don't have to sign Collins. You can sign and trade him somewhere if you can get value, and boom, you did a reset getting at least one rookie that would be okay. Mm-hmm. So I think the Golden State, I mean, why not? If you're Dame, is there a better destination for you?
Well, and he's from Oakland. You think he wouldn't want to play for the Warriors? Like, you're kidding yourself.
Of course he would.
If you think that he wouldn't want to play for the Warriors.
You know, unless it's Cade, unless Detroit calls you and say, well, I'll give you Cade, or Houston that gives you number two.
Yeah.
Is there a better offer out there? Like, MPJ... Maybe. Murray, maybe. You can, but you know, MPJ is already quite good. You already are on the clock.
Yep.
With pick number 7 and number 14, I mean, you are not on the clock, like, by any means. Like, it's...
Yeah. Those are also, I don't know, 7 is... I'm honestly not trying to manufacture sunshine for the Thunder here, but it does feel like 7 is where you're like, you start to get these prospects where you're like, do we really like Davion? Like, can you talk yourself into Sengun?
Yeah.
And then it's like, there's some really good role players. Like, I love Moses Moody. I think he's great. Yeah. I think Corey Kispert. After all the athletic testing with Corey Kispert, I'm kind of like, oh, okay.
I think he's a good athlete.
Like, much better chance that he works out. Or, like, are you swinging for the fences with Keon? Maybe.
Or Giddy.
Maybe. Or Giddy.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's too many. I mean, I would go, I don't know, 10 players deep, you know, with that pick, with guys that I'm like, seems pretty flat. Like, if Kai Jones was the best player out of that group, no surprise here. You know, I wouldn't be shocked. So it's a tougher group. I think with 1 through 6, it seems pretty clear who you should grab once that player drops to you. But then you get to 7 and it's like, okay, now what? Like, it's going to be a wild, I think it's going to be a wild draft. I think it's going to be a wild night. Just because I think the variance on who you like from even 6, but really 7 to 20 is going to be, I think it's going to be all over the place.
Yeah. And back to Portland for a second, say that they get 7 and 14. I mean, there are teams like Toronto where, yeah, getting Barnes seems very interesting. But say that they are not as high. And they can get 7 and McCullough, for example.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Mm-hmm. You can concoct trades where you get McCullough and you sign and trade Lowry somewhere and probably the cap still works. Mm-hmm. And you have Van Vliet, you have number 7, CJ, Anunoby, Pascal. I mean, you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a roster that can make noise in the East because CJ is exactly what they miss out there. A guard that can be your secondary ball handler and like stuff like that. I mean, it's you don't get a blue chip prospect, but who cares? Is this the plan? I mean, Portland can maybe get up to 4 and then can you really get better value for Dame than 4 Wiggins and 2-3 extra picks, just in case Golden State, after 5 years, 7-10 years of extraordinary success, they just let go of the rope.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are Golden State, you just give everything you can for Dame because, like, CJ, like Curry and Dame Come on. And Clay, even if it's just half Clay, I mean, that team is going to win.
Right. If you just get corner three Clay, like if that's all you get.
Exactly.
And hopefully he can move well enough on defense, which I'm not. That's what scares me the most. But who knows?
Yeah, but come on. If you're Golden State, you have 3 years with this core, probably.
Yeah. And also, if you trade for Dame on draft night, you give yourself a chance during free agency to get older guys on cheap deals to come join you.
Yeah.
And then you try again. Because, I mean,
it's a good try. It's not like.
Yeah. I mean, I might pick that team to go to the finals next year. Just because, I mean, I love the Suns team. The Suns are great. They're very fun. I don't know that I would pick the Suns to get back because I don't know what Chris Paul will look like in year 37 for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's very intriguing. What it could shift the league in a way that, you know, hasn't felt like it's been done for a little while.
Yeah. My only question with that trade is, does Dame want to be the reason why that team will go to the finals? Because if that is the case, then Golden State is not the place you want to go. If it's, I don't care. I just want to have fun and to win, then it will happen. I mean, he saw what the KD experience was. It was not about KD, even if KD was the best player, mm-hmm. was clearly the best player of that team. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter that this team is Curry's and Curry's only. So you have to be aware that this is what will happen. And again, it might not be his own decision because, I mean, he is quitting on a team badly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that Portland will, they will not send him to a bad place. But they need to get as much as possible.
They need to get
wherever this is. I mean, if Detroit says, well, we'll give you Kate, yes, just do that.
Yeah. The fit that I love the most is in Philly. I just don't know if they have the goods to get there.
They have to give at least Maxi, Simmons, and four first, three swaps, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, all unprotected. And they probably can't because they already have a pick going OKC's way. So they have to unprotect that and then trade other stuff.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I would do it in a heartbeat if I'm Philly. You just have to. I mean, they have to. Okay, let's.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's talk Thunder. Let's talk Thunder trades because the Thunder have put themselves in this situation where the lottery did not go well. It was about as bad as it could be, where they get 6, 16, 18. And now they're left with a few situations. One, I think the most likely scenario is that they just pick at 6 and then they try to package 16, 18, and maybe, you know, 35 or whatever they need or 34 or 36 to get up to wherever they want to go. They can use all four of those in some way to find a guy that they like at 12, you know, trade it or at 13 or wherever it is, or 9, you know, the Kings pick has been known to be for sale. And yeah. I think you can probably get up as high as 9 if you traded 16 and 18 and convince the Kings that there are still good players back there, which I think there still will be. But I think the Thunder would prefer to just have their pick of those guys once you get up there. And they would probably do a much better job than the Kings anyway. So, like, move aside, Kings. Give us your pick. But the Thunder also have more assets than any team has ever had, ever, with regards to future firsts. And to me, now is the time to start using those. Like, I think they'll be in the lottery next year too. And I will also say next year, unless they draw number one, now is the time to use these picks to try to move up. And perhaps they like Scotty Barnes. Perhaps they like Jonathan Kuminga. I think they will have one of those guys fall to them. I think that will happen. And if that's the case, then you don't have to use your ammo to get there. Perhaps you can use that ammo to trade, you know, into the top 10 instead of, and maybe you like guys at 16 and 18 and you trade like two future first for the 9th pick. And that's what how you do it. But to me, if your guy is Jalen Suggs, if your guy is Jalen Green, whoever it is, you have the chance to offer an overwhelming package of picks along with your 6th pick to move up. And I don't know what the exchange rate will be, because we've seen teams do this before where it's like the 3rd pick for the 1st pick and an additional pick. We've seen the Doncic swap, which was just one additional first rounder. What happens when the Thunder offer 6 and 3 additional first round picks to Cleveland? Like, they almost have to say yes. that's a deal that really has not been, that's not really happened. It's usually just you swap your first rounders and one additional first to move up. And maybe that's all it would take with OKC as well. But if they offer 3, it's not going to damage them so badly like it would have those other teams. And so I just wonder if, to me, if you think that one of these guys is the guy that can help you get to where you need to go, you need to use your picks to get there. And it truly doesn't matter all that much, because it's all about this process. And the process has already begun because Shea is so good. And if you like Shea, if Shea is one of your guys, you've got to use your draft capital, in my opinion, to move up and to get whoever you think your guy is. Green, Suggs, maybe it is Kuminga. Maybe they think Kuminga is their guy. I'd be surprised if he was, because this is not 2008. But maybe it is, or maybe Barnes is, and the Magic are like, we're going to take Barnes unless you trade for him. And the Thunder give 6 and one additional first to move to 5. But to me, it's, I don't know if you agree or not, but to me, this is the time. It's time to use it.
Yeah, it is. It is in part because, I mean, as we said, I think that there is, it's not like the timeline shortened too much because of Shea, but
right.
I think that the Thunder are in a different position compared to where they were last year, in a very different one. The timeline has shifted a bit because you can see that Shea has the potential to be the lead guy, which wasn't clear. And when you have a lead guy, then your clock is ticking a bit. It happened with Booker as soon as he erupted for those meaningless scoring burst. But it was clear that like with a good team, it could have been better. So the clock was ticking for Phoenix. So it's ticking for OKC a bit. And so this is a reason. It's not a reason to do something that has, on average, a bad return in terms of average value. So if you think that you like Barnes, but the difference between him and Kuminga is not that high, then you probably draft Kuminga. You don't want to use your pick just for the sakes of using them or just because you have them. And it's not even about like just saying, well, I want to be the man and so I will not trade you nothing you have. Like, it's not even about that. And we'll talk about that probably later about what is the feeling of winning or losing a trade. But I think that in this draft, there is the possibility to move up because of fit and because of teams that may have different priorities and they may be open to different stuff. Like, Cleveland will never trade a pick if Mobley is there, I think. But if he's gone, then they will probably listen because maybe their evaluation of Suggs and Green is very similar. And if they feel that the guy that they like the least is someone that, I don't know, Toronto or even OKC like very much, then they will probably listen. Mm-hmm. So Toronto is, I don't think that Houston and Detroit are really up to move back to 6 or 7. Maybe if Detroit likes Suggs, then they will probably move to 2, but not back. They will not risk losing him. Or if they like Green, then they will probably listen. But again, the only team that can really get there is Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston, I don't really see them trading the pick unless they value the future way more than they value what they have right now. So if they think that they are up for 4 years of rebuilding where they need all the assets, then saying something like, well, we'll give you 6, all your future and some extra stuff for 2, then yes, you have to do it. But I don't see that. I see that as, I don't know, regular cereal. not very likely.
Yeah. Let's develop our cereal skill real quick.
Yeah.
We can even do like 3 cereals. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is like very likely that it could happen, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll even use one of those. Let's see. Frosted Mini Wheats right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah.
And then we can do Rice Krispies as very unlikely.
That I know. Okay. So to me is like the fact that you can create a trade with Detroit is, or Houston is Rice Krispie or whatever.
It's like Rice Krispies. You don't even get milk and you're like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
There's no chance. I just don't see it. I don't know why you would do it if you're Detroit. I have no clue why you do it if you're Houston either. Because the thing with Houston is they have
Unless Shea's involved. I would remove that though, because if Shea is involved, then everything is on the table.
Yeah, and Tim Bontemps just made a comment. He's not reporting. He's not doing any of that. He's just saying, watch Shea. And we've been saying the same thing. Like, if you're mad about that, like, don't be mad about that. That's like, you need to be aware that you have a general manager, a president of basketball ops that says that he wants to build through the draft. And having Shea on your roster makes it much more difficult to build through the draft. Yeah. We saw that. He had to sit for half the season for them to build through the draft. And next year, is Shea going to have plantar fasciitis for half of the season? Probably not.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Probably not. And then what do you do? So, yes, it very much could involve him, depending on what their evaluations are. Because if you think the Thunder don't have evaluations on next year's draft and the year after that, like you're wrong.
Oh, yeah, they do. Have.
They have it way out in the future. They know what's coming. And they have to figure out what they want to do. Do you want the rebuild to start with Shea? If they do, great. Then to me, you have no choice but to use your draft capital this season.
Yeah.
If that's where you want to go. Or if you're willing to part with Shea for the second pick in the draft. If you're willing to do that, then you reset everything. And you're able to slow it down because...
Yeah, but to me, the second pick is not even enough. Like, it has to be, like, instead of giving me just the swaps, that right now that they need to become unprotected. By the way, you need to add something
would you
else.
Do? Would you do it? Would you do it for Shea and to? Would you do it for two and unprotect all the swaps?
And the pick.
Yeah.
No. I need an extra one.
Yeah.
No,
I think this possibility is low too. Like, this is like very Rice Krispies. I don't think this is possible. I really don't.
For Cade, I can see, not for Cade, for the number one pick, I can see that.
Yeah.
And you probably, I can see in the same way if the number
why
one.
Would but we have to like also explore, like, why would Detroit do that?
For no reason. I mean, they have a timeline that can be sped up a little bit because of Jeremy Grant, but it's not that Shea and Jeremy Grant will lead you to the playoffs in the East for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe. But they are far away. Like, for them, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to me, either trades are very hard, if not impossible. Yeah. Cleveland is interesting because, again, if Mobley goes to Houston, which is possible, or to Detroit, for what we know, I don't think so, but if Mobley is not there, and for some reason their evaluation of Jalen Green is not as high as others, then they may be the team that says, well, you know what? My evaluation on Green, Suggs, Kuminga, and Barnes, it's the same. I have, and maybe Kuminga is the highest on my board. Mm-hmm. I just want to get the best value. Then they will call Toronto, they will call Orlando, and they will call OKC, probably. I don't think that they will move down more than OKC because the value is not there. Maybe they want Simmons. Maybe they want to have a prospect that is already proven in the league. If that happens, then there will be a way to involve OKC in somehow. But let's stick to this. Then I think that Orlando has the best. Because 5 and 8, it's still better than, to me, 6 and 2 extra picks. So you need to do more for Cleveland. And OKC can do more. They can offer Theo Maledon. They can offer Vasilije Micic. They can offer an extra first-round pick, maybe a good one.
They can also offer this. We'll just take Kevin Love.
Oh yeah, they can offer that. Yes,
that is such a big one, especially to ownership, and an owner that we know is pretty wild to begin with, right? And they could just say, "Hey, we'll take you, give you 6. We'll give you 2 additional firsts, and." You just throw Kevin Love onto our cap sheet. And I think their ownership group, who they're clearly just wanting to build young, right?
Yeah.
Like, they just want to be young. They just want to have a young team. And they're going to have a chance, like we said, to draft a Jonathan Kuminga or a Scotty Barnes, who, like, those guys are both the kind of fit what they need. They need a bigger wing. They need a 3-4 that can be on their roster because they don't really have that's the only spot that they really don't have for a young guy.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad place for them to land because you could argue that they should take Scotty Barnes at 3 anyways because he's exactly what they need.
I don't know. I don't like the fit with Allen. I really think that
it's Jared Allen.
Yeah. If you have Barnes, you and Nance is not it's not that you build based on Nance, but
you don't.
It's, I mean, I like
just because
Barnes.
Because you have 2 non-shooters.
Two possible non-shooters, yes.
Yeah.
And even if Barnes, like Draymond, when he was good Draymond, when he was hitting 36%, 35% of his threes, no spacing.
Yeah, I agree. I just think defensively is what they're missing a ton on defense. But maybe it's Kuminga that you take there.
Yeah.
And he's really more of a true wing than Barnes is. And so maybe that's what you do and you think, okay, we'll just develop him if he falls to us at 6.
Yeah.
Which is a sincere possibility. But to me, you sell Dan Gilbert pretty easily just by saying, we'll take Kevin Love. But then like you kind of wind up with like a pretty weird team.
You know, OKC?
Yeah. Because you still have Kemba. You have Kemba and Kevin Love, along with Shea, and hopefully it's Jalen Suggs for our sake. And then Poku and Lou and all those guys.
Yeah. Well, Love will play. Your defense will suck. And but there is upside to, I mean, suppose that you do the trade and then Love somehow averages, I don't know, 15 and 8 at the Olympics. And he has just one good run of 2 months. There will be a team that says, well, maybe, you know, it's just a year and a half of salary. We can make that happen. Like I know that it's all about asset accumulation, but if you can get to 3 by taking in 2 years left, I think he has.
2 years left at like 35 plus.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, if you can do that, why not? I mean, that is a trade they see probably one of the likeliest, because then it goes to Toronto. Toronto, there's no way in which Toronto says yes to you and no to Orlando.
Yeah.
And the only reason why, I mean, maybe Orlando doesn't want to do that trade. That is the point. Like, say that they are high.
His salary decreases in 2022-23.
Yeah, it's a bit less.
Down to 28.
Yeah. So it's really 60 millions for the pick, which is steep, but
it's a huge price to pay. And the Thunder also have to talk their owners into doing that.
Yeah.
You know, especially, I mean, and convince them that, hey, like one of Kemba or Kevin will be gone, you know, at least after this season.
Yeah, because you'll have the Supermax.
They're both, they have the Supermax. They're both expiring at the same time in 2 years. So,
yeah, but the first year of Shea will be, they will probably have 90 millions or maybe more in 3 players, 95 millions. So you will be very close to the tax.
You've got to be able to get rid of one of them, at least one of them. So that to me, if like we said, we get to this place and Mobley is gone at 2, I agree. If Mobley's still there, like they have to just take Mobley.
Yeah,
he's truly what they're missing. I said they're missing a wing, but what they're truly missing is a guy like Evan Mobley who can play.
Yeah, who cares about Jared Allen? Yes, you got him, but we sign and trade him somewhere. There will be someone.
You can even
re-sign
him. I mean, I don't think they can not play together.
I don't like that. You know that I don't like that.
I know you don't. I just think there's a chance. Mobley just moves really well. I think there's a, and also he's not ready to play NBA center.
Yeah, but what's the value proposition? Like, why you're re-signing Jared Allen just because you paid? Just do a sign and trade.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think Jared Allen's good.
Yeah. Send him to Golden State for number 6, 7, whatever. For number 14, I don't know.
If you can, well, I don't know if I do it for 14, but if you can do it for 7, then yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, you do it for 14. 14, it's replacement level.
I don't know.
Like it's, even if Jared Allen is as good as Capella, you can find guys in that role for cheap.
Yeah.
Still.
I don't know. I don't know how Cleveland values him. I don't have any idea.
We'll see
how they value him.
We'll see if they pass on Mobley and they trade back. Gosh. Then the value is clearly wrong. Let's put it this way.
Then we know. But I would put that if we get there with Mobley gone, I would put it at like Cinnamon Toast Crunch levels, just because the Thunder. I know the Magic probably have the better offer of 5 and 8. Yes, that is absolutely the better offer. But OKC can offer a lot more. They can just put so many more things on the table.
Yeah.
They have the ability. I don't know if they have the go-ahead. That's the only thing. Like, do they have the go-ahead from ownership to take Kevin Love into cap space? Like, I don't know the answer to that. Maybe it's yes. I have no clue what they have the go-ahead.
Because the whole point, though. I mean, Kemba is a net zero trade in terms of salary with Horford. Well, a little bit more, but it's probably irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason why you're rebuilding, like you're clearing all this space, is to get a salary like the one that Kevin Love has. This is exactly why you do it.
Yeah.
So I think that the plan
is there. I don't know if ownership is ready yet, is my question. And I'm not saying they're not. I'm not trying to say that they're not ready, but I'm just, as long as they have the go ahead, what the Thunder can put on the table is a lot more valuable, in my opinion, than what Orlando can do. Because Orlando doesn't have the cap space to make that happen. And OKC does, and they have their six, and they have guys at 16, 18, and then they have any future pick that you would want. You can just say, we'll give you 6, 16, 18, and then you can choose between like these three first round picks. Which one would you want the most?
Yeah.
You know, to get there. And that to me would be like, if I were them, I would be like very overwhelmed. And we'll take Kevin Love. Like that to me, that feels like too much.
Yeah, it feels like an overpay.
Yeah,
it feels too much.
But the thing is, if the Thunder identify one of those guys as the guy, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, whoever it is, then it's worth it. Like this, probably having all this draft capital, it's the point of it is.
Yes,
is to get what you want. It's the same with and people that are like talking about all the like. The Thunder have too many picks. It's not, they're going to lose their value or whatever. I mean, it's the same, like the reason that a lot of people like try to grapple to get as much money as they want in this world is so I can get what I want. And the Thunder are the richest team in the league with regards to picks.
Yeah.
And to me, the only reason to have all these picks is so that you can get what you want. And so exactly. If Jalen
Suggs, has to be what you want though. That player.
Yeah, it's not just, Cade was our guy and, you know, Suggs was second or Mobley was second on our draft board and we kind of like Jalen Suggs, but we don't really know. Like, you don't do it. You just wait. Then you let whoever fall to six. You use your coaching staff the way that you use them in this past year to develop like their very first like rookie blue chip guy. And then you hope that it works out and then you try again next year.
Yeah. Let's sketch it up mathematically for a second. You have number six, which gives you probably a generational talent in what, 2% of the time, 3%, 5%, something like that.
Yeah.
Going up to 3 increases that quite a bit. Well, 3 is kind of a weird pick because of MJ and because of Wade and because of whatever.
Sure.
But that's is substantially higher. Now, you're trading that 10-15% for 2 first-round picks, so 2 possibly rotational players, plus $60 million, which equates to another 2 first-round picks in normal money. Maybe just 1, but let's exaggerate. So you're saying that the difference between number 6 and number 3 is worth 5 extra first-round pick if you give 14, 16 Love and the next one. That to me is close to be too much. So you need to know
that you are paying
too much. But if you think that the excess that of talent of outcome that Suggs or Green have compared to the median outcome of those pick is enough, then you absolutely do it. Because in reality, what OKC will be after with those picks in the future is complementary guys or and they have enough to get them. So it's probably high the thing that they will pay if that is a trade, but not that high. Toronto.
Let's go through the history of the third pick real quick.
Yeah. Don't use that, please. It's too good.
Well, LaMelo was last year.
Yeah.
With a third pick. RJ Barrett, Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Like, that's where we are. And then there's some tough ones in here. Absolutely, because there's always tough ones. Jahlil Okafor in 15 went third.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid went third in 14. Otto Porter in 13. Bradley Beal. And then we have a couple rough ones. Enes Kanter, Derek Favors. Not great. But, like, big man prototypes that you should have stayed away from at 3 anyways.
Yeah.
James Harden went 3 in 2009. And OJ Mayo, Al Horford, Adam Morrison. But then we have Deron Williams in 2005. Yeah. Carmelo in 2003. Pau Gasol in 2001.
That's insane.
I mean, these are the type of players that are there. And to get those guys on a rookie scale deal, is it worth giving up 5 future first round picks?
Yes.
If you have 7 or 18 of them? The answer to me is yep.
Probably even if you don't. Even if you don't have 17.
Because like right now, like what are the Wizards gonna ask for Bradley Beal when they finally decide it's time?
Yeah. 5.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, no, I completely agree. And if you frame it this way, it's the name you mentioned, you have probably one bust for non-basketball reason and 3 players that still got the max at some point in their career. Maybe Favors is the only one who didn't get the max. The other players are all, well, Morrison was, well, had all the issues in the world, but we're talking about one guy who busted out because of drugs, one that was probably problematic, and still wasn't. That draft was so bad. Was the Bargnani draft 2006?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a terrible draft. Everyone knew that was an awful draft.
It was like a terrible draft.
Even Otto Porter, he signed a max. Mm-hmm. Like he was like a good number 3 guy for a stretch of his career. Like then he went south because of, well, you know. But we are talking about like players that are very good in this league. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Number 4. Toronto. I think that Toronto is so hard to read. I mean, I have no idea what they want.
It all depends on evaluations of players from here.
Because and Masai will not tell anything.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That will be the tough part about it, is that you're dealing with a negotiator that's very, very good. Bless you. Yeah, I think it would be hard because I think that they're probably just sitting at 4, just waiting for whoever drops to them, Suggs or Green, and that they're just gonna take whoever it is and run. That's what I would do. I wouldn't mess around. I wouldn't mess around with all these like OKC crazy amount of picks head games. Like I wouldn't mess around with it. I would say, give me Green or Suggs, and let my coaching staff do what they do. Just slide a potential star into this team that's like ready made for a star, right?
Yeah.
And if Jalen Suggs turns out to be the guy that we think he is, like you just have to do it. Or if it is Jalen Green that's left, you have to do it. Because
what if they like Kuminga?
If they like Kuminga, then we have a chance.
Yeah. I think that is the only scenario where, because I know that the fit, the fit with Barnes is not there. Yes, they will try to say that, yeah, but if you have OG Anunoby with a dribble, wouldn't you draft him? Yes, but you already have OG, you already have Pascal, you already have that player.
So I'll say this real quick. So on The Athletic, which you can go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month, you can go read this mock draft. It was done by the Eric beat Corrine. Writers. Eric Corrine is one. Blake Murphy is the one who did, who was on this one. And Blake chose Scottie Barnes at 4 for them.
I don't see the fit. I really don't. I mean, why do you want to draft another player that you already have? Where the real issue with Toronto is elsewhere. I mean, it's not there. And so
it's go-to score. They need a go-to score. That's why I would, I mean, if Jalen Green is still on the board, I would absolutely take
But say he's not. Say the draft, which is actually likely, Cade, Green, Mobley. I think that this is probably the likeliest.
I agree.
Then either your evaluation sucks, which seems to be dropping a bit. Either
I know. You're why is he's the one that's dropping, which is wild to me.
I don't know. I have no idea.
He went in the mock draft that Chad Ford and John Hollinger did. He dropped to 6 to the Thunder.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I just, if you're the Thunder, I guess,
you don't want to take any chances. But say that you are Toronto and you like Kuminga and you like Barnes. Mm-hmm. Then you know that probably OKC is after someone else. What they can get in this deal, it's not just 14 and 16, but the guy that can help them winning immediately and a guy that will probably be amenable of getting there soon in Micic. I really think that this could be a swing factor because Micic is a guy that on a veteran team with a veteran coach, with an established culture, with a GM that has international flavor, I think that it will be very, in a city that is, it's not really America, it's not Europe either, but it's different, it has a different vibe. Maybe he will be amenable to something like that. And
he and Van Vliet can play together.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And then you go to six, and if you're fine, he, like Barnes, I'm more convinced that if Toronto passes on Barnes, I don't think that Orlando drafts him. It doesn't make any sense to me. So
he's the absolute worst player for them to draft in that area. Yeah. Because there's no, to me, I don't think there's like a 25 to 30 point score in there in him.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably it's not even on Kuminga. It's not even
probably not, but there's a better chance that there is in Kuminga than it is in Barnes.
By the way, all this is happening to my nose, and this is why I wasn't on the pod over the last.
So I know that.
Yeah, it is a story for another time.
We should explain that to listeners a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, you have to get this through me sneezing and stuff like that. Well, long story short, I was not good, not really good, and then I'm back. Yeah. So, anyway, I was saying, I think that the Magic will try to counter offer, but to me, to Toronto, there is a possibility that, well, you know, Micic, maybe Dort. Say that they ask Micic, Dort, and six. What do you do?
Ooh, I don't know.
Dort is Canadian.
I love Dort. I know. It's great. It's great for them. To me, if the Thunder think that Suggs is the guy, then you have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to.
You also have to know that Shea will be probably extremely pissed about that. And Toronto is probably after the same thing. Like, let us piss Shea so that in 2 years we can get him as well.
I know. To me, I would counter with six, Micic, and an additional first.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, you have to do more. You have to do. I think that the deal with Micic is with 14 and 16. And probably the right evaluation on Dort is that Dort is not worth 14 and 16. But if I am Masai, I want to put you in a tough spot because I know about Dort. I know about Dort and Shea. And to me, I would do a disservice to my franchise if I'm not asking you something that you don't want to give up.
Yeah.
If it's not Dort, then it has to be an unprotected first from you in the future.
Yeah, sure. And then I say, okay. Well, I don't know that I say okay for four. I think I say okay for three. I don't know if I say okay for four.
Well, you say okay for Suggs. That is why you say it.
I say okay. Yes, I would absolutely say okay for Suggs. I don't. Here's the thing. Dort might be worth 14, 16 because he's a starter.
Yeah, but it's not worth two for some picks. There are one lottery and one not.
I don't know.
Not on the market. In terms of value for a team, yes, but not on the market.
Maybe.
I don't think there is a team that offers two.
I think we've been saying 14, 16. We should be saying 16, 18. It's 16, 18. Sorry.
Why am I saying 14? I mixed up with Golden State.
Yeah, they have 16, 18, so then not a lottery pick. So
then we are a little bit closer.
I think he's worth it. Like, look what Robert Covington got.
Yeah,
two first round picks for Covington. So I think he is worth 16, 18, just because you're not guaranteed jack at 16 and 18 in the draft.
Yeah,
you're just not. So I think it's absolutely worth it. But I think that I think it's going to be too hard to trade with them. And then with the Magic,
I think it's still in the middle though. I absolutely don't remember the name of the cereal that you put as
Frosted Mini Wheats is at four. Like this is our
maybe. I think it's maybe. And I think that I don't see Masai as being a guy that says no for the sakes of saying no. Mm-hmm. Nor is Presti saying he's a guy that says yes only if he's on the clear right side of a trade. And again, this is a topic for probably next time. But I think that these two GMs will say yes if they see mutual advantage. And I think that Micic and Barnes or Micic and Kuminga for them may be equal to Suggs if they are not so high. If they don't want to draft Suggs, then the risk of losing Barnes, Micic can be a sweetener to that. And again, I don't foresee them being in risk of losing Barnes because I see Barnes at four. I really see it. I don't see Barnes for Orlando. The problem in that trade is that Orlando will probably try again, as I said, to draft Suggs as well because I can see the fit there. They really need a guy like him. Cole Anthony is not the point guard of your future. So
No.
To me, a trade with Orlando is a no-go just because I don't think that they are onto the same prospects. Yeah, so
I agree.
If Suggs is there, then you probably have no way to draft him because they will not trade. If Suggs is not there, then they will likely trade for Kuminga. They will likely pick Kuminga. So it's I don't see a trade between Orlando and OKC. Maybe Orlando just to try to play and Presti allows and gives them 18 just because.
Yeah.
Just to be sure. But if Barnes and Kuminga are there, I don't see Orlando picking Barnes. So I would not give more than okay, you played it well, you mix it up a little bit, and I want to be sure to draft Barnes.
Yeah.
And maybe you're saying all of this, and Presti is the highest on Kuminga, and so he really wants him. So who knows?
It's very possible. We don't know.
I don't really see that. Again,
I don't either. He is not. And there's a difference between the players that they've drafted recently and the players they drafted in the original Thunder team is that like they're drafting guys with high IQ. They're drafting guys that can all pass. And not that Kuminga can't pass.
Kuminga can pass. Yeah.
But they're drafting guys that see the game at a different level. And think the game at a different level. And Kuminga doesn't do either one. Does he have all the tools? He's got all the tools except for the IQ. Yeah. Like he has all the tools. And it's the ceiling floor with him is the scariest of any of these top six.
Yeah.
It is the absolute scariest. I think Barnes has a pretty high floor. I think Suggs has a really high floor. I think even Jalen Green at worst is your sixth man and he's going to get you buckets. You know, and I think that the possibility of that is pretty small. Like maybe the other like bustiest guy in the draft is Evan Mobley in that top six.
Mm-hmm.
Like he and Kuminga are the ones where I'm like I can see a world where they're not great, but I could still see like Evan Mobley like still floating around the league in a decade. There's a chance Kuminga is not doing that. Okay.
Agreed.
All right, Michele. That's all we've got today. I'm going to say hello to everybody in the stream as we go. So thanks for joining us. This is an early pod, so we have lots of international listeners. We have Aniruddha from India. Sorry, I'm trying really hard to say it right. I probably didn't still. Xander Flame from the gym. We have Miroslav in Germany. We have Madi in Bangladesh.
Wow.
Thanks for joining. We have Tom Bystander, who says, Thunder up. In Presti, we trust. Christos is in Greece from hot Greece, he says.
You don't have you have no idea how hot it is in Greece right now. I think it's about 50 Celsius in some places, 45, something like that. Let me check how many Fahrenheit is this. It's like 115.
Oh my gosh. This is like Phoenix level. I feel you, Christos. Sheesh. I'm sorry, Christos. Jay says, what's up? We have WKM14 from Sydney. We have Aaron Chittock from New Zealand. We have Ryan in New Zealand. Aaron asks, why did we give up on Reggie? Did we give up on Reggie too soon?
Don't get there.
Aaron.
Don't go there.
Reggie gave up on us. We have Falk in Denmark. We have Hoopstock69 from the moon. We have Maddie Moles in San Antonio. We have Danielle from Norway. We have Greg from Sydney. Let's see. Paul Hong from Dallas. What's up, Paul? We have Daniel Tomasi from the UK saying, what's on, boys? He's all on the Scotty Barnes train. Bailey Sanderson in Adelaide. Let's see. Anybody else? Thanks so much for joining. Hope you guys have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful week. Lawrence Field is with us. Mike McGee in Melbourne. David Licata. I think that's it. Thanks so much for joining. We really appreciate you. Tyler Field here. Simon Cappy in Yorkshire. Thanks so much for joining us today. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your day. And we'll be back with you guys on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.